This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words for love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
We change pace, and Dr. Wyatt relates some startling truths and just what it means to have life in Christ.
Thank you, Dennis. This little series on discipleship, I pray, has been rewarding. Sharon's reading is from the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, and we learn what life in Christ is all about.
For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in the manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have.
Thank you, Sharon. Sharon has read for us a few verses. Here is Paul at his best, engaging, personal, lofty in perspective, with wonderful rhetorical style, his usual Greek word plays, and always his very difficult Greek usage. Also, Paul is touching, all too briefly at least for us who were not part of the Philippian church, on various ideas and concepts. At the heart of this all is Paul's complete and utter devotion to Christ Jesus. Of course, Paul is writing from prison, undoubtedly in Rome, as he speaks of the whole Praetorian Guard and clearly of his own imprisonment. Yet here he shows little interest in his condition, in his possible release, or even death. Instead, we find a total devotion in the vindication of the gospel of Christ, of Jesus being glorified through his entire ordeal, even if the verdict goes against him. He begins with two quick phrases revealing his own thinking. It is his entire focus on Christ. What is the singular focus of his life? Christ, crucified, exalted Lord, coming King, the one who as God emptied himself and as man humbled himself. It is this focus that gives meaning to everything he now will say as a prisoner, not of just the Roman authorities, but as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He has already stated that he gladly suffers the loss of all things in order to gain him. And now Paul displays an amazing lack of concern for what his upcoming trial will bring. For as he writes, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Our English translations fail so completely to capture the simplicity, power, and resonance of Paul's rhetoric. To live Christ, Christos. To die, gain, kerdos. If the trial goes against him, Paul is saying his crown of glory awaits, and he will have gained Christ. Death is not loss, but is to gain his lifelong passion. What Paul so simply expresses here is the Christian hope, for which death holds no fear, at least for those who live Christ. He therefore says he is hard pressed. Yes, life in the flesh means fruitful labor, but to depart is to be with Christ. He is speaking of an option between life and death. Not that he is expressing a death wish or a dissatisfaction with life, a desire to be done with it all, the petty difficulties and the constant battles, far from it. For he really has no choice in the matter. It is up to the Roman courts. But personally, what is to befall him is a real quandary between gaining Christ and what is most necessary for those of Philippi. Paul does express his preference, what is better for himself, but he is convinced that for their sake, it will be God's choice for him to remain. What Paul is making clear is that he is sure, absolutely sure, of his future in Christ, no matter what. It is not death he finds so appealing, but being with Christ. This is one of the passages that is so critical for our Christian understanding of our future. And Paul is saying that death means to depart and to be with Christ. Paul has used often the metaphor of sleep to describe Christians who have died. Yet here Paul more than implies that he expects not to sleep, so to speak, but to be consciously present with Christ. His use of the language to depart, that is, in the body, or to remain as in the body, make no sense apart from gaining Christ is to be a real existence. This is but the natural expectation of what our Lord said in response to the Sadducees' attempt to ensnare him over the idea of the resurrection. He is a God of the living, not of the dead. Does this conflict with the belief of Christendom in the bodily resurrection of all at the day of his coming? More likely, it is the natural extension of that belief that in Christ, our redemption, his dwelling in and through us, makes it all unthinkable that God would ever, even at death, cause any separation from him of those whom he loves. To be with Christ is to be a permanent existence, for is he not the God of the living? This has been seen as a great comfort and encouragement for countless generations of believers. For as Paul, we understand these words to mean that death brings us immediately into the presence of Christ, a conscious existence. It is not yet a bodily existence, but paradise, his presence, what we mistakenly call heaven, unless we mean by that God's presence. But as Paul is saying, death is not loss, but our completion, our salvation more fully realized. I don't want to add more than what Paul has said, which is more than enough. For what he says is plain enough. Death means to depart and to be with Christ. And as Paul has told the Corinthians, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The implication is that there is some period in which one is with the Lord in a more or less bodiless existence, that death is but the means that brings the believer into the Lord's immediate presence. Yet despite Paul's preferred outcome, he expects instead to live, since that will be to the advantage of the Philippians. This is more necessary. Obviously, there is yet work to be done among those of Philippi and surely elsewhere. Paul reveals here that if we were unaware of it, he is a man of singular passion for Christ Jesus. And such a love and singular passion is what Paul wants in the Philippians and all those who would follow Christ. Our growth, our progress in our faith is dependent and centered in our life in Christ Jesus. As C.S. Lewis put it so well, the whole of Christianity is the idea of putting on Christ. Our world and its distractions, that which would divert our attention, those things we consider so invasive, are, believe me, no greater than what was present in Philippi. Nothing has changed that much except technology. The world then had lost its way, and the world still has. And Jesus Christ is the singular hope. He is, in fact, the only hope. It certainly isn't in government, international cooperation, of which there is little or none. Our hope is in Christ, not just to be one day with Christ, but it is Christ that provides the perspective, the direction in a world that's careening toward utter darkness and is sinking deeper and deeper into the morass of sin. And he will express his concern for the Philippians in such a world. And so his words are for all who face a hostile and the increasing opposition and persecution because of one's belief. There was a falling away from what Paul calls a steadfastness in the faith. Again, nothing has changed. Our suffering and persecution may not be as intense as it was in Philippi, but all we need to do is lift our heads to see that too many of our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that is what they are, brothers and sisters, do face as much, if not more. Be it Nigeria, the Sudan, the Coptic Christians in Egypt, the Chaldean Christians in Iraq, those of the growing churches in Iran, China, Russia, or any number of other nations. And if not such active persecution, there is the slow attrition or the infection of apathy and nominal Christianity that infects Europe and much of our own nations. Christ is no longer central, no longer the passion and purpose of too many structures that we actually call churches. The Spirit has fled because unbelief, or worse, the irreligious, speak from the pulpits and lecterns. If the words of Paul mean anything at all, it is let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to you or am absent, I may hear of you that you stand firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. We must understand that Paul can speak so in the face of hostility and persecution, for he has also suffered like them. It was at Philippi that he was whipped for delivering the slave girl of her demon, which then brought her owners to bring charges against him, and then he was in prison. Paul looks upon such as something that should never surprise or overwhelm any believer. But as he says, it is evidence that God looks upon you with favor. He encourages all who face such difficulties, obstacles, or harshness for our faith. So he speaks of living your life worthy of the gospel. This is a good translation of the spirit in which Paul has said these things, but there is more. Paul uses a noun which plays upon the fact that those of Philippi, as a Roman colony, they were granted Roman citizenship by none other than Octavian. And Paul is asking that they take an active part in their polis, or city, that they be good citizens, but in this case, of a heavenly city. Philippi was that Roman colony, but the church is a colony of heaven. And now they have the added responsibility to a new polis, a new community of believers. So live in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ, that I might hear that you stand firm in the one spirit. Paul, of course, is not speaking of some spirit of oneness, but of the one and only spirit which we all have in common as believers. Being in Christ and in one body is because of our receiving the one spirit. We all, especially when facing difficulties, fragmentation, hostilities, are to stand firm in that spirit, as one against all that would disrupt, hinder, or attempt to destroy the church. one mind, side by side, contending together for the faith of the gospel. This is at least how it should be. But the fragmentation and fleeing away one sees too often when churches come under fire. Paul will further add that they should not in any way be frightened in anything by your opponents. He seems to be implying something that the Philippians know perfectly well. Perhaps as Dr. Fee surmises that as Paul has laid heavy emphasis on Jesus as Lord and Savior, and the heavy emphasis in Philippi on the emperor being worshipped as Lord and Savior at every public affair, that the Christians' allegiance to Jesus, their heavenly colony, their membership and heritage, belongs to the city of God and is being tested. Especially since this Jesus they worship as Lord and Savior has been executed by the emperor's surrogates in Judea. And he is telling them not to be frightened, for this is to Paul a clear omen to those who oppose them, would bring charges against them, of their own destruction, and instead your salvation. Paul's picture is of those who cannot be frightened, for their future is secure. As Jesus declared, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Only fear he who can destroy both body and soul in hell." Matthew 10:28. This is the meaning of losing one's life and gaining it. It is about an uncommon boldness in proclaiming the gospel. This is, I believe, our calling and surely our purpose. We are to put on Christ, abide and walk in him. As such, we are citizens of two worlds, two nations, of two cities. And as such, our future is absolutely assured. Stand firm in one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel, unafraid, for us all, to live is Christ. O Lord, let us never, ever lose sight of the fact that in Christ we are secure, and that we should show the boldness, the lack of absolute fear, for we are to understand that we have the power of the Spirit in our midst to see healing in wholeness and salvation made possible. And we are assured that thy kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, all for thy glory forever. Amen and amen.
How wonderful it is to know that our lives are now in Christ. There are no questions, doubts, or uncertainties, for in him we stand confident and assured. This is what our world so desperately needs, and why Dr. Wyatt is providing this week his study titled, The Question of Discipleship. This intriguing study could be of great help in your own life in Christ, so do write and ask for The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. Dear ones, we want you to know just how much we appreciate all of our dear friends who support this ministry with your prayers and, yes, your kind gifts. And to those of you who are not yet a part of the Wings of Healing family, we pray that you would seriously consider supporting this ministry, which enables us to proclaim the Word of God throughout the world and to underwrite our children's homes and evangelists in many parts of this world of ours. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Also, secure contributions can be made on our website at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. This was about life as a Christian, and again, I want to make it abundantly clear that I think life in Christ is the only way to live. Life in Christ makes so much sense when you have all the facts, opinions, and the results before you. And obviously, life devoid of Christ is absolutely senseless. I know statements like that are disparaged, even made fun of, but I have seen all the possibilities, and I'll take Jesus. As those like Judy of Ohio, Pamela of South Carolina, Mike of Toronto, and 1,000 others will witness. So if you have questions, doubts, or want answers, Dennis will provide our addresses once more, and I hope you will write, "We will respond." And now Kristen Stanfill sings this poignant hymn, "More Like Jesus." And until next week, let's be more like Jesus.
You came to the world you created, trading your crown for a cross. You willingly died, your innocent life paid the cost. And counting your status as nothing, King of all kings came to serve, washing my feet, covering me with your love. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything, yes. You are my life and my treasure, the one that I can't live without. Here at your feet, my desires and dreams are laid. Desires and dreams I lay down. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. If more of you of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write, and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and this week Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his very timely book, The Question of Discipleship. This is an incredible, concise, and biblical look at what it means to be a disciple. This is a must-read, so do write and ask for Dr. Wyatt's study titled The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.